kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
This may be inappropriate, but does SML now stand for someone might have left?
Oh my god, I'm keeping that as the intro.
Yeah, all good. It's free under Creative Commons, man. You just have to credit it.
As my cat jumps up on the desk. Hi, Potato.
You have a cat called Potato?
Yes.
Did you know the people that made local multiplayer game with Laser Force or something? The lady who made that, her dog's called Potato. It's my favorite pet name. It's amazing.
Nice. Yeah, Potato is kind of like our unspoken mascot because she always finds a way to jump on my desk while I'm recording.
Oh. So I used to have a cat, and then they got rid of the cat.
Oh, I have five. I have a
really?
Problem. Yeah.
That is a serious quantity.
My wife and I are certified crazy cat ladies. In fact, today, the two of us are wearing the same shirt, and it is a cat coming out of the ocean attacking a ship.
That's awesome. Oh, I think I've seen this. This is like a picture, right?
The kitty kraken.
It's like a fucking t-shirt. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and we wore the same shirt today, and we walked out and like went the yard sales this morning. So just two people walking around with the same crazy ass cat shirt on, and yeah, we're lunatics.
I thought you were from some kind of company that promoted kitty krakens.
Man, I should start a company that just, that's all we do, just kitty krakens.
Just go around trying to sell it to people.
That could be Roll 7's next game, Revenge of the Kitty Kraken.
This is a concept.
I don't even want royalties, just a special thanks.
We'll put you at the top of the credits.
On that note, what's up, everyone? This is Joe. This is the SML Podcast, episode 192. Just me today. No Chris. He's out doing his own band music, whatever thing today. Instead, I am welcoming back for the second time from Roll 7 all the way in the UK. It's Mr. John Ribbons. How you doing?
Hey, man. I am good. Everything is lovely here in the UK. We had our 6 days of summer. We're back to rain.
You had an extra hour before the show today. Are you going to blame daylight savings on that?
I'm going to blame id and doom.
So tell us all today why you were late to the show.
Because I set a reminder, and then I was trying to beat level 8, and I missed the reminder while shooting Kako Demons and trying to find the lever to get the secret Doom level.
In school, this would be called an approved absence.
It was approved. It's okay,
yes.
Because
yes.
It was Doom. Okay.
You get a pass on this one. It is totally fine that you were an hour late to the recording, because seriously, Doom's fucking awesome. We all know that.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's amazing.
So tell us about Doom.
It's a big download, right? I've got it on PlayStation 4. And so I felt like I was being super clever because I did the thing where you buy it on your phone when you're not at home and leave it download. And I came home, I was out with a friend and we were a bit the worse for wear, and I was like, dude, we got to go back to mine. I've got Doom. So we got back and we're far too drunk to play Doom. We just died a lot. And then he went home. And then I wasn't thinking, you know, like on PS4, it does the thing where it downloads and lets you play a bit of the game while it's still downloading.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, it's only been 4 hours. I've got kick-ass internet. It's amazing. The whole game's done. So I turned the PS4 off, went to bed, woke up the next day with a massive hangover. Like, sweet, just going to play Doom all day. Turned the PS4 and I've still got like 30 gigs to go. Estimated download 9 hours.
Oh, so, man.
So I just sat there and tried to beat the opening level on Nightmare for like 8 hours.
And just over and over the same level?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you not use instant on over there, or put your system into standby instead of turning it off?
Well, that's what I should have done, but I just turned it off because I wasn't in a thinking state when I went to sleep. So
alcohol.
I messed up. Yeah.
Good old alcohol.
Good old alcohol, making Doom harder than it needs to be.
So aside from Doom, the real reason you are on our show today is last time you came on, you were talking to us about the PlayStation 4 release of Not a Hero, correct?
Indeed. Yeah.
And now, exclusively because of me badgering you on that podcast so much, it is coming out this week for the Xbox One.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And it was, you know, it's almost 100 episodes, isn't it, since I was last on?
Is that right? What was your first episode?
I feel like it was like 106.
I should look that shit up. I forget what the name of it was.
I mean, it's a classic episode. If you haven't checked that one out, it was good stuff.
But I think it's safe to say all of our episodes are classic episodes.
Yes, it's just different degrees of classic.
Yes.
But yeah, we had some back and forth about Xbox and
episode 160.
Clearly. 160.
160, because it was called Praise Be to Bunny Lord.
There we go.
So there you go. Okay. It was sandwiched in between our interviews with the guys behind Zeroes and Timo from Press Play. And Press Play is dead now, so I'm going to blame you for killing Press Play.
Ah, oh, man. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, it happens. So 32 episodes later, you're back, and Not a Hero is back on Xbox One, and it is bringing Ollie Ollie 2 along for the ride.
It is indeed. And I got to be honest, actually, when we last spoke, we were kind of done with the Xbox stuff. I just couldn't talk about it.
You son of a bitch.
it was that awkward thing because you kept being like, so is it going to happen? It was like, oh, it's already there. It was just, it was in submission and QA and stuff. But yeah,
it was already done. What the hell took so long? Jesus.
You know, testing, submissions, all that kind of, all the other stuff.
Yeah, there might be glitches. Where?
Yeah, there might be exploits. There were some pretty funny ones, if I remember rightly, but yeah.
Oh, do tell.
Just weird stuff, like, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, some of the new bits, there were some funny things with the Killinator. I don't know if you've had a chance to play.
I have not gotten to the Killinator. Is that a weapon or a boss?
Oh, I'm not even going to spoil it. But that thing that's going to happen at some point that's exciting was broken.
Is that part of the new stages?
Yeah, that's the last new stage.
Oh, fuck. I didn't play that one yet because technically I got the achievement for killing the guy on the second bonus stage, but I died before exiting the stage. And it was like my 40th attempt. So I'm like, fuck this, I'll try it again later. And I haven't gone back to the bonus stages yet. I've been going through campaign.
Oh, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. But yeah, those three new ones. It's the last of those. Because we did quite a lot of new stuff in those. Other than the 7 new colors of Pixel, you know, we had some new baddies and some new bosses and bits and bobs. So, you know, as soon as you add new stuff, you introduce a ton of new things to fix.
And now I really, really want to play that third stage. I should just blow you off for an hour and play it and then come back.
Yeah, and that would be totally justified, you know, based on this evening.
So for the people who don't know what these two games are, let's start off with Not a Hero.
Okay.
Tell us what Not a Hero is, why people should be excited for it.
Okay, so Not a Hero is a 2D cover-based shoot-em-up. Kind of like if you imagine Kane and Lynch or Gears of War, but from the side. And it's a bit silly. You work for a giant anthropomorphic purple rabbit called Bunny Lord, who's come back in time from a broken future to fix the past and get himself elected mayor. Because if he gets elected mayor, then he prevents the bad stuff from happening. And if he doesn't, then the world ends in a terrible apocalypse of nasty burning or something like that.
Isn't it random every time, all the descriptions?
Yeah, so it could be an abominable apocalypse of unpleasant kittens or whatever. and so for the Xbox One version, there's sort of three new missions called Me, Myself, and Bunny Lord. So you actually get to play three levels as Bunny Lord, which is set... they're set after the first game, and you're kind of going back and fixing stuff that he messed up the first time around. because it's time travel. No, I can't explain it. It's complicated. But yeah.
All you have to do is say it's time travel, and that covers everything.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That was the beauty of Not a Hero, was that time travel fixes any plot problems.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That explains everything, though. Hey, why did that thing happen? Time travel.
It's time travel. I'm sorry.
You're an asshole.
I think there's actually,
okay.
There's even a bit where, there's even a cutscene where if you leave it, Bunny Lord starts pointing out some of the plot holes in the game, and then he's just like, you know what, Steve? Time travel's fucking complicated.
Yeah, I am very happy to see how off the wall crazy the game still is. I'm guessing besides the new content, not much was changed of the original game?
No, stayed the same. It was interesting, actually, because there was some stuff that we found. Not like bugs, but like little bits that, especially like our lead QA, Sam, he's now played an awful lot of the game. So there were little bits that he was like, hey, if you do this and that, like this thing can happen. And like, this is a bit weird with this character and stuff. And so we did think about switching some bits. But obviously we wanted to keep it the same across everything. So we're like, we've left some of those flaws in, but they're really the kind of thing you're only going to find if you play a hell of a lot of it. So
are they good things or bad things?
So I don't know if you've had this happen to you, the punch tennis thing where you can just end up getting punched back and forth forever.
Nope, haven't had that happen, thankfully.
Okay, wicked, it doesn't happen.
Sounds good. It's been fixed then. Perfect. Yes. And if it happens to you, it's just your copy of the game, we promise.
Yeah, it's just definitely mine. I mean, you just hit pause and you restart the level.
Exactly. It's not a glitch, it's a feature.
I mean, literally, that was like before that. Before the game came out on PC, it was in as a bug, and it was like, hey, it only happens like one in every 100, say 500 plays. And we're like, it's probably not that much of an issue then. And literally, like, the first stream I sat and watched, the guy's like, getting bunched back and forth. Like, shit.
He's the one.
he's the one.
Man, all that needs to do is just reinforce the fact that if you don't want that to happen, stop sucking.
Yeah, it's the get. Ian, what's it? Get good. Just get good, dude.
Come on, scrub. Get good. Yeah. If you don't want to get punched back and forth forever, don't get punched in the first place. You exactly. Have a gun. Use the fucking gun.
Yeah, and now, you know, as Bunny Lord, you've got a really sharp carrot as well.
Oh my god, the first time I saw Bunny Lord do his execution, I had to pause the game. I was laughing so hard. Just the ridiculous humor in this game, it seems to have only gotten more ridiculous since I've played it on the PS4. And I'm usually upfront with this because I say it every time I cover a game, once on PS4 and again on Xbox One. I've played it a hell of a lot more on Xbox One because I hate the PS4 controller. I'm always a fan of playing something on a more comfortable controller to me. And so I've gotten exponentially further in the game now on the Xbox One than on the PS4. And even on the PS4, I had a blast with it. It was stupidly funny. And now I can see, because of how much time I've put into it overall, how random and stupid this game really gets. And I love it.
How far in are you, out of interest?
This time through, I just killed I completed the second area, and I started in the Chinatown kind of area, but those dude with the swords are fucking pissing me off.
Yeah, like the insta-kill samurais. They're
kind of
badass.
Oh my god, there's so many of them.
Yeah, you gotta keep moving.
You gotta
be aggressive. Like, if you run away, you're just dead. You gotta go for them.
Yeah, I never even gotten to the Chinatown area on the PS4, so I'm further now than I was before, and that game's out longer. But yeah, those dudes with the swords, fuck you for making them.
Oh, well, there's like a super version of them later on in Chinatown that are even stronger again. So,
oh, wonderful.
You're
thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, dick. Man. But yeah, we talked about the randomness of the game the first time around, and I love how random everything is. Every level you start, the things you have to collect are going to be different. The people joining you for the press conference can always be different. You know, one time Aunt Ruby's standing next to you, you're like, it's an exciting meeting, so I brought Aunt Ruby, or it's a fascinating meeting, so I'm wearing glasses.
today it's Bring a Hostage Day. He's got a bleeding hostage in a chair next to him. Yeah.
I didn't see that one. I saw the mime, though. Like, how many different options are in this game?
Oh, so briefing, I think there's something like 10 or 15 different things that he can bring along or be wearing. Yeah, today's a special day. I've got night vision. I mean, that kind of got like, so the random generator stuff was, that was never going to be in the game originally. We made that as something completely different. It was for another game called Hackathor, which was like a randomly generated dungeon crawler. And it was so much fun that we were like, oh my God, this like Bunny Lord should do this. Because like, you know, you're collecting stuff, right?
Yeah.
All games make you go and collect stuff. And it was just like, well, you could... I think originally you were just going to collect milkshakes because Bunny Lord loves milkshake. And it was like, oh, it'd be so cool if it was... You know, he's always joking about the fact that... Not like it's pointless, right? But it's a game, you're going to collect things. So it's kind of fun that he kind of... It's supposed to poke fun at the collecting stuff in games thing. But never again. Like... I think there's 30 different random things that you can collect. And then when you start thinking about the fact that like sometimes he's going to need to say an, and sometimes he's going to need to say depending on if it starts with like a vowel or a consonant and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that got a lot more complicated. Like when you're just making it initially, right? So you're just like get the feature in and make sure it kind of works. And then... later on, you have to not only have it in and make sure it works, but it has to be like grammatically correct and translatable and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you get to that point, and you're like, oh, we have set ourselves a much bigger challenge than we originally thought we had.
So it's not going to be a Not a Hero 2?
Actually do it. Oh, you know what? It's really interesting. Like, we still get stuff. Like, there was this awesome guy in Poland recently who went to like Comic-Con dressed as Bunny Lord and handed out flyers about why you should be voting for Bunny Lord and stuff. It's weird. Like, I think it got a lot... People liked it a lot more than we thought they would, I guess. Like, there are some people out there who clearly really got into the whole Bunny Lord, Not a Hero thing. And it's been super nice, right, to get, like, emails from people and, like, little bits of fan art and stuff like that. It's also probably the most fun we've ever had making a game because it's sort of free reign for silliness and fun. I'd love to do some more Not a Hero one day. I don't want it to be... I don't want that to finish. It was too much fun to stop, really.
I definitely hope we see another one in the future. It's easily one of the most fun games that I've played in the new generation of consoles, because it's like, it plays incredibly well. It feels great. The control, like, I'm never cursing the controls. Like, oh, the game screwed me on this, or the game fucked me on this, or the controls didn't work right here. It just, everything is my fault. And it really is this time, but it just feels like a great game. The humor is nonstop. The over the top brutal violence of the game, perpetrated by a happy purple bunny. I love it.
He kind of doesn't know what he's doing either. I think that's my favorite thing. You haven't... No, actually, I'm not going to spoil it. Like, there was a level that... The level where you got to kill the private investigator guy. And then it kind of turns out it wasn't the guy you had to kill after all.
Are there fireworks over there?
No, someone's just... there's just a gunfight going on outside.
Oh, nice, nice. No, so you are in the Middle East right now, correct?
I'm in the Middle West of London. No, someone's doing fireworks, but I've got my windows open because although it's raining, it's super humid here at the moment.
That's the worst.
Is that any quieter?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can leave it. I don't give a shit.
Okay. Kind of adds to the atmosphere, right? It's like this nice gunfight going on.
We are celebrating the release of your games.
Mm. I had it set up especially. They're all purple fireworks.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. So, like, there's a couple of bits with the humor where our producer was like, that might be a little bit too dark.
No. We're
leaving it in.
Is there anything that was removed from the game?
We changed. Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
It'd have been funny if I just hung up then. You'd have wondered if I got blown up or something.
Hello? Right? John? John?
John?
Snake! Snake!
There was a few things. Like, we changed some of the language. I think there was stuff that might have been unnecessarily upsetting, I suppose. Like, we took the word retard out of the game. We thought that was maybe a bit... That upset some people more than we thought it would, and it just seemed, you know... It didn't necessarily make the game better because it was in there.
If it was 5 years ago, it would have been fine, but the whole, I guess, PC-ness of the world today... PC-ness of the world today is... you gotta be careful with what you say in games, I guess.
Yeah. There was that element to it. And yeah, to agree, maybe there's sort of stuff we didn't think about. Like I said, like the random word generator's got so many words in the system that sometimes you could forget there was stuff in there because he just never said it for like 100 playthroughs. So yeah, there was moments when it first came out where people would be playing through and it would say certain things and we'd sort of cringe a little bit like, ooh, maybe that wasn't such a good choice. So yeah, we changed some stuff around. But for the most part, it stayed the same. The darkness stayed.
Did the UK have a problem if you guys had the word spaz in there? I know Nintendo games have had to change their releases over in Europe to drop the word spaz in the past.
Do you know what? We didn't ever have spaz in there. That is quite a... Yeah, there is quite a difference, right? I remember they said it in Friends back in the day.
Rated R. For what?
For what? For spaz. Should have been rated S.
For spaz.
Moving swiftly on.
So, in the Xbox version of the game, obviously you added the three new stages featuring Bunny Lord.
Yeah.
Have you thought about adding anything else to the game, either through the Xbox version or through DLC for both the Xbox and the PS4 versions?
So,
fireworks, that's a good idea to have in the game.
Yeah, we should have added fireworks. Oh man, I'm going to sound really, really dumb here. So I know we've added like the Xbox achievement stuff. I don't actually own an Xbox, which is kind of ridiculous. I know.
You dick.
I know, massive dick. That's actually quite complimentary. There's a lot more sort of features with the Xbox One, being able to track stuff you've done in the game and give you that kind of feedback outside of it, right? Like number of headshots or executions and things like that. So we spent our QA guy, Sam, who is a big Xbox player, he was really up on making sure we supported all that kind of stuff. We did that. We put that in. For us, it was like, obviously, doing the original game is sort of... you get stuck in that loop at the end where you're just trying to finish it, right? And get everything working, get it all perfect and tight and playing how you want. So it was really nice to come back to it to do this DLC. Being like kind of the game world set, what little things do we want to iterate? Like what stuff can we add that'll be fun little twists on the game? So like in the DLC levels you were playing, we had like the NPCs in the first level, little crime scene investigator forensic guys that are running around and like... the FBI foxes in the second level, the Foxy Bureau of Interruption.
Yeah.
And mess stuff up. So it was really fun to kind of be like, you know, adding some little features and I guess being a bit more free. Like the first time around, you're obviously building all the game systems as well as the game itself. Whereas this time around, it was like getting to just, it was really refreshing to sort of sit down for the time that we had and be like, cool, we've built the whole system. Now we're just building some new levels and some new content and putting it in, which is not something we'd done before. And it was quite, it's quite refreshing to do that rather than like starting from scratch effectively.
With adding Bunny Lord as a playable character in the new content, did you guys consider making him unlockable to play in the full main story at all?
So we talked about that as well, but it was the, like the levels, I don't know if you've kind of noticed in playing, but the new levels are actually quite a bit harder.
Oh yeah, I noticed they're harder.
at least in like, especially the number of enemies we throw at you. But obviously he's got like an automatic weapon. He's got tons of bullets and he fires super, super fast. So I think he would have made the main game too easy. So again, it was quite nice to go back and be like, well, you only get to play as Bunny Lord in the new stuff. So that kind of gave us some freedom to like design levels that are a bit harder, throw more enemies at you and stuff like that, because you had Bunny Lord, who is this slightly more powerful character. But I did have it set up for a bit in the testing thing where I could go back and play the original levels as Bunny Lord, and it was just a bit like, this is going to make it all way too easy.
I would love that, because there's like, I'm not having too hard of a time getting through most stages. If anything, like an enemy might overpower me, or you know, I might get swarmed. But my biggest issue is completing all three objectives on some of the stages, especially ones where there's a time limit.
Yeah,
and it just wrecks me, and I'm so sad that I really wish it was one of those games where you don't need to get all three objectives at once. You could just like knock them off one at a time. But
so obviously, like when we built Notohiro, it was coming off the back of Oli Oli, right?
Yeah.
And so with Oli Oli, you can, when you beat a challenge, the challenge is kind of done, and you can kind of go back and be like, oh well, I'll just leave that whatever it is million point combo, and you can come back to it later on and just focus on that one challenge. And so while that was cool when we were doing Notohiro, it's kind of like, we had a thing in Oli Oli where, you know, some of the levels in Oli Oli, you can beat all of the challenges in like one perfect run,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do it in all of them. And that's kind of like quite a tricky design challenge. And with Oli Oli, we were like, are we going to make that a thing or not? Like, are we going to make it that you have to do them all in one perfect run or not? And we kind of decided not, because it meant that we could make some of those challenges super hard. So yeah, the thing with Not a Hero was like, I really wanted to make that part of the game being like, your challenges only count for the run that you're doing them in. And so if you want to get the 4-star, you've got to do this like one perfect run, which like when it came to designing, it actually made it super hard to design, especially like you're saying on those time challenges, one like being like, you don't want it to be too easy. You don't want it to be like, oh, well, we gave you loads of time because you've got these two other things to do. But at the same time, like, yeah, some of them are super down to the wire to get that. I think that last level, the one you must have just recently beaten, the last level of the second set of levels.
Getting to those reporters? Getting to the pay
reporters.
Getting to the payphone with the second bot. You know, fuck you for that. Oh my god. I replayed that, I want to say 20-30 times, just hoping to get a good weapon drop on the first section so I could get through and get into that room to answer the payphone. And usually it was with 1 or 2 seconds left.
Oh, excuse me. I'm getting over a cough at the moment. I'm going to mute for 1 sec.
Yeah, it was always down to the wire on those. And then, those getting to the reporters. Holy God, that was brutal.
Have you ever reached them just as time runs out?
No.
I might. If I don't get blown up, I'm apparently going to just die on this call.
I might have to go back to that level and just go there and wait for time to expire.
Yeah, like if they don't get the scoop, the news reporter guy goes nuts and he shoots all the news crew and then blows his own head off. So like Jake, our animator, spent ages doing this animation where that happens. And then he was like, when he was playing it, he was like, I've realized that probably only 1% of people are going to see this animation that took me like 3 days to make.
Well, now you're up to 1.5% for all the people who listen to our show.
Who are now going to go and try and find that. That's good.
I'll watch it. I'll go back and watch it. I'll have to remember what stage it is, but I'll just look at the descriptors where it's like, meet the reporters.
Exactly.
And then I'll stand there and wait, watch them all die.
It's pretty cool. The news reporter guy's got like a Donald Trump toupee. And when he blows his head off, the toupee does a little somersault off the top of his head.
Oh, that's glorious. There's just the animation and the humor in this game. I have been hyping it up ever since the news hit that it was coming to Xbox. And I know one of my friends who does Twitch streams, he just got his hands on that and Oli Oli. And every time that he's streaming, I'm like, did you play him yet? Did you play him yet? Did you play him yet? Because he could play them off stream. But he can't play them on stream yet. And he's like, oh, I spent a little bit of time, but I can't really talk about it. I'm like, I reviewed the PS4 game so I can talk about it. The PS4 game explicitly. Hey, that's a loophole, right? I reviewed the PS4 version. So I am allowed to talk about the PS4 version of the game.
So the, like Jake, the guy that was, he did like all the animation, all of the level art for that game. There was so much credit to him in terms of like the humor. Because, you know, a lot of the time in that first level in the new DLC, I don't know if you noticed, like the crime scene investigator guys, when you kill them, they draw their own chalk outline and then die into the chalk outline.
Oh my God, I did not notice that.
Yeah, like I didn't notice it for ages. And then I think it was like a week after it got in the game. He was like, "You haven't commented on what happens when you kill the forensics guys." And I was like, "Well, they just die, right?" And he's like, "Can you play it again?" And going back and being like, "Oh my God, that's awesome."
Like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That is absolute genius that he would take the time to put that in.
So there was a lot of stuff that he threw in like that, the kind of like, I don't know, we had this ongoing battle. I think we talked about this last time we were on the call with the incense sticks. So we had, in the world you're playing now, in the Chinatown thing, like, he drew little, like, incense sticks with smoke coming off them on some of the pillars with an animation. And I was like, dude, no one's ever going to notice that. Like, that's the tiniest detail. Like, the incense stick is literally, like, a line of single pixels. Like, that's, you've wasted so much time, no one's going to care. And then literally the first tester to play it after it went in stopped playing at one point and was like, "Have you animated little incense sticks on that wall?" And he was like, "Yes, I win."
And just so he gets proper credit, what's the animator's name again?
This is Jake Collins.
Oh, props to you, good sir.
Indeed, props. He's actually moved on now. He's moved on to a new job.
Well, fuck him then. Quitter, he abandoned you.
No, he's super killed it in this project, but his interest was actually always in like interaction design and stuff like that. So he had super fun doing this, but I guess it wasn't quite where he wanted to go. But he's doing really well now. He's doing some really weird new projects.
Yeah. Well, his time at Roll 7 is appreciated by all us gamers, and we thank him for his ridiculous additions to the games.
Exactly. Well, you know, I don't think in his new job he gets to draw suicidal news reporters or gerbils.
Hey, his loss. His loss.
Dancing xylophones or anything like that, yeah.
His loss. In his search for self-respect or whatever the hell, he just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's probably only one point in your career that you're going to get to draw an Egyptian god punching a giant pair of testicles, and that's that's not a hero.
I noticed that in the Xbox trailer for the game, that got censored, didn't it?
It did.
What happened from the PS4 to the Xbox that you had to newly censor testicles?
So, I don't know if you're on the PlayStation Store, like, that trailer's not on the PlayStation Store because we couldn't put it up because of the testicles. I remember a really funny conversation where it was like, yeah, are you gonna have to censor it? And it's like, can we pixelate them out? Because they're kind of already pixelated. But no, like, it seemed a bit weird, like, we basically ended up having to make two trailers, right? One that we've had on YouTube that was the explicit version, I guess, and then the one that was actually on the store, which was watchable. So we wanted this time around to just do one trailer that everyone could see. And so we censored it. It does have a comment underneath, though. I don't know if you noticed.
I did notice it, but I don't remember what it says offhand.
That says it's censored due to the ridiculous notion that our soft, naked bodies are more offensive than the gratuitous violence shown throughout the rest of this trailer.
Gotta love it. Double standards in the world.
It is. It's weird.
You could murder drug dealers and forensics artists all you want, but showing balls? No.
No, balls, not okay. I know, I think we need more... No, okay, I was going to say we need more Egyptian gods punching testicles, but maybe we don't. Maybe that's a beat-em-up game we should do next.
Lord, that would be amazing. You can't release a trailer at all.
It's just someone going, imagine what it would be like. And that's it.
Frank and Beans. So it's a two-player co-op beat 'em up. One player plays Frank, the penis. The other player plays Beans, clearly the testicles, and you have to fight through just like a real, like Double Dragon. Like you're fighting actual human thugs, and you're just a gigantic human-sized penis instead of testicles.
I think this should be a VR game.
And I really feel like I'm a dick right now.
I mean, yeah, like the script writes itself almost immediately.
Again, no royalties, just a special thanks.
Yeah, I'm noting it down.
So anything else that you want to discuss about Not a Hero and the jump over to Xbox and the new content and everything else?
I don't know. Other than that, it's awesome and you should totally get a hold of it.
Indeed. Will there be any more DLC for the game? Could we see added stages or like a $2.99 download to just use Bunny Lord in the main game so I could get 3 objectives on every fucking stage?
Basically like an easy mode.
I would pay $3 to use Bunny Lord in the whole game.
So actually the other really tricky thing with putting Bunny Lord in the main game, right, is that it would actually involve having to rewrite the end of every mission because you'd have to have a new debrief where he chats to himself. Because at the moment, at the end of every mission, no matter what character you've played, he still addresses that character, right?
But yeah.
It's not him. Whereas if he's talking to himself, it's got to be a bit more like the new missions, right, where he chats to himself from the future.
Very true. All right, $4.99.
Whole new system for that. Yeah, so it's at least $89.99 if we're going to have to rewrite all of that stuff.
Sold. I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, no, I mean, in terms of DLC, it's not something... it's the word, like, never say never. It's, like I said, it's super fun making content for Not a Hero. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get to do some more. It was really good to work with Team 17 to do the Xbox One version. I hope people like it. If people like it and want more, then we'll definitely want to do more stuff for it.
All right, so Ollie Ollie 2, that is the other game releasing this week on Xbox One from you guys.
Yeah.
Tell us about Ollie Ollie 2.
So, if you haven't heard of Ollie Ollie 2, where have you been?
Seriously.
Come on. So, Ollie Ollie 2 is side-scrolling skateboarding game. Kind of based on our love for Tony Hawk, but also based on our love for Skate's control system. I'm trying to decide if it's harder or not than Another Hero. It's super technical, right? It's like, it's a pretty tricky game. It's totally skill-based. It's really, really fast-paced. And the new one has probably the most requested feature, which is we've done free skate mode. I don't know if you got a chance to check this out.
I have played... Free Skate is the one with the 5 stages that you could just free skate through, correct?
Yeah, and you don't have to press X to land.
Yep, I have... press A to land. Listen, we're in Xbox land now.
Oh, we are in Xbox.
You're pressing A to
land.
You don't
have to press A to land. Sorry. Sorry, Xbox One.
Yes, I have played through, I believe, half of the campaign stages, played through all of the free... I've done the daily grind most days, and I always seem to do really good in practice and then immediately fuck up on my one run.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah, I figured. I think the first score I posted on a daily run was like 54 points because I just immediately screwed up and landed a sloppy.
That is horrific. I mean, I'm the same. Like, every now and again, I'll kind of come home and I'll fire up Ollie Ollie and I'll be like, yeah, let's do the daily grind. Show the world how it's done. And I'll blitz through and get a really good score and then immediately choke when it comes to like the proper run. I think that's just how it works. And then I see people who have set scores and they've got like 2 million points and I'm like, how did you do that? How did you... I think the trick is just to go straight in, right? Don't even practice. Just bam.
First one. I guess so. You can't overthink it if you just go for it.
Yeah, just go for it. Just be like, nah. I'm ruining like, the whole mode now. Don't do that. Practice really hard. Practice really hard and figure it all out.
You'll be like me and you'll nail a 0 like today.
Yeah. So no, but like, so the free skate we've added for that, five new levels, they're way longer. I think they're like three to five times longer than a normal ollie level. But you can't mess up your landing, which, I don't know, I think it's a cool addition. Like, from us, it was that a lot of people, there's that thing of like, I really liked it, and it took like a little while for the whole pressing A to land to click. And so we kind of wanted to remove that barrier, right? To be like, well, you've got this mode where you don't even have to do it. You can just nail the tricks, learn how to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good addition to the game. It could help people get more accustomed to the controls. You can still very clearly fuck up if you're doing a rotation in air and land wrong. You could still definitely wreck.
If you get greedy, you're still going to slap.
But yeah, I thought it was a great way for, like, one of my friends came over and he never played either of the Ollie Ollie games before. Like, is there a tutorial or something? I'm like, well, there is, but go into this free skate mode first, figure it out on your own, and then try the tutorial to get extra tips about how things, the intricacies of the game, but just get a feel for it before anything else. And he was doing well. I really like the addition. It's good stuff.
I mean, there was a lot of iteration on those levels. Like, we, I think, like Sam, who was building those levels, I think I broke his heart a little bit at the start of that, being like, this is still too hard. This is still too hard. This is still too hard. I mean, there's definitely a vibe that if we ever want to build the nightmare, like, again, Sam has done a ton of the QA on those games. He's very good at Ollie Ollie, and I think the initial set of levels he built for the free skate stuff, the initial set could totally be released at some point as the super mega nightmare difficulty levels. But yeah, I think with the new ones, it was all about, I don't know if you noticed it, like, there's a lot of repeating patterns. Like, you'll get a little combo section and then it'll do that same section again, but maybe a little bit longer, and then again, but a little bit longer. So you kind of, hopefully you're playing it and you kind of do a little bit and you get it, and then
build off that.
Yeah, it comes up and it repeats again. You're like, oh, cool. I know how to do this bit, right? And then it just does a little bit more in the end. So it's not got the same thing as the main game where every new thing is some new super scary twitch combination of ledges that you're like, oh my God, I hope my thumbs can do this. yeah. So no, I think it was nice. It was kind of a bit of a weird thing to do the reverse of how Ollie Ollie is normally designed and be like, no, let's just hopefully let people have a chill time.
Yeah, I like it. Good stuff. There's what, five different themes to the game, I guess.
Yeah, so you go through five different regions. So we built.
Tell us about those regions.
So we got Welcome to Ollywood, the game's namesake, which is kind of, I guess, like, we with Ollie Ollie One, they're all kind of quite real world settings. Yeah, it was like junkyard and military base and Neon Tokyo, you know.
Yes, because everybody goes skating in military bases.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly.
I mean, everybody who ever had a skateboard's got some story of when they went to Russia and went skateboarding on disused nuclear missiles. I mean, that's just standard.
Exactly.
And so I think with the second one, we were like, I guess we just wanted a bit more freedom to be like creative and come up with some cool environments. Andreas, who kind of joined on Ollie Ollie 2 as sort of level designer and game designer, he kind of wanted to do this movies theme, which was really cool because it gave us so much freedom to go to weirder and wackier places. So they're kind of all based on movies. You've got like the Wild West, you got sci-fi, you've got Zombie Carnival, because Zombie is two played out on its own and Carnival's super fun. And then, oh my God, I can't not remember the last one. Oh, Aztec, which is kind of super, I guess like the kind of Indiana Jones classic adventure movie style.
Yeah.
So I mean, it still follows the same format as Ollie Ollie 1. Kind of in that if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like,
pretty much.
We didn't want to suddenly be like, yeah, we've made it first person in VR and it comes with a peripheral.
Did you turn American for that description?
Oh yeah, bro.
fucking just, VR, just bro.
Just seemed how I had to sell it. So we wanted to kind of, I guess we did a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, where we were like, let's build on what we've got and add manuals. And that seemed to be, again, like, you know, we were saying, like, when we came back to Not a Hero to do the DLC, it was really nice that we weren't reinventing the wheel. Like, we had a pretty good wheel that we had some stuff we wanted to add. Like, I guess, like, all the time, right? You're making games, and when you start out, you're like, it's going to do this, and it's going to do that, and we're going to have, like, dragons with chain guns. And then you get 8 months into development, and you're like, maybe we'll cut the chain guns. Yeah, we probably can't do the dragons either. and so they go, right? But then obviously...
And it turns into a match 3 gem game.
Yeah, yeah, except we couldn't do the gems, so now we just match 3 pictures that we got off Google Images.
Yeah.
So, it was really nice, like, again, like, with all the early 2 to come back. Like, we've rewrote the whole game in a new engine, but we had this basis of, like, what we kind of knew worked. And it was kind of about going, you know, like, all the early 1, we didn't have curved surfaces. All the early 1, we didn't have manuals. We didn't have reverts. Because we didn't have curves, we didn't have that kind of feeling of, like, rolling down a hill and gaining speed. Like, that never happens in the first game. And that was something that I think... in the second one, in all the early 2, really adds to that kind of flowy, chilled feeling. It's like when you land a trick into a slope and it just builds your speed up, and then you jump out of a kicker at the end and it sends you flying into the air. Like, that was something that we really wanted to do. And it was just nice in all the early 2, not to be boring or anything, but to be like, there's a bunch of stuff we didn't get to do that we're really sure is going to work, and we can put that into the second game and really hone it and make sure it works really well.
I think the whole game works really well. It's another solid edition of Ali Ali. And if this is your Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, I am dying to see what your Tony Hawk ride is.
Like I said, I think that would be really weird, right? Because you'd have to stand, like, side on to the screen. I don't know, did you ever skate? As like a teenager or whatever?
As a kid, I did, but I was terrible. As I grew up into my teens, I became the fat video game nerd. So I've just rolled on that my whole life.
So...
my brother was a skater.
So, like, my issue, right, is, like, as a skater, yeah? Like, I ride regular, which means I'm used to riding with my left foot at the front of the board.
Yeah.
So if we made a peripheral for a side-scrolling skateboarding game... right, you'd have to scroll from right to left, otherwise I've got to stand with my back to the television, which is never going to work.
Yeah.
I've got to be facing the TV, which means my left foot would have to be the one. It's not going to work. It's not going
to
work.
And that's why you have to make it, to make your Tony Hawk ride.
Just to prove it out.
And then you turn it into a snowboarding, and you can have your Ollie Ollie shred.
Yep, and then we need to do a Ollie Ollie on scooters. And a BMX one.
Ollie Ollie American Wasteland, where you get the Jackass crew involved?
Yes, and you just ride shopping trolleys for the whole game.
And then Ollie Ollie 5, where it's just a demo.
Yeah.
So you download the patch. what are your thoughts on the Tony Hawk series? Like, do you hope someone else gets the Tony Hawk rights and actually puts out a good skate game again?
All right, okay, so this is interesting, right? Because I think... Tony Hawk 1 and 2 and maybe 3 and possibly a bit of 4, they were really good games. And then they kind of, all the ones after that fell into the trap of, like, you got to add new stuff, right? You can't just be like, well, that was a really good game. Let's just build the same game again with nicer graphics. You got to add a new thing, shopping trolleys or a peripheral or whatever. I feel like Skate took the skateboarding crown from Ollie Ollie, from Tony Hawk. Like, for me, Skate was the definitive skateboarding game.
I know there's been a lot of rumors and rumblings that a Skate 4 might be in the works. Are you hoping that we see that announced at E3 this year, maybe?
I would be hyped. Like, the thing is, like, I played Skate 1, I played a bit of Skate 2, and then I stopped. I never got in on that whole Skate 3... thing, because that was the one that kind of went crazy, right? It was like Skate 3 came out, it was big, then it kind of died, and then I think it kind of got ended up being big on the kind of YouTube and streaming community, but like a year after it was out, and that kind of brought it back again.
Yeah, because I know EA has re-released the game a number of times. Yeah. Because it would always go out of print, and then demand would build up, and they'd be like, well, I guess we better make fucking more copies of this disc, and it would keep selling and selling. And even now, like, every now and then they'll do a sale where the skate games are like $4 or $5 on Xbox Live, and they sell like crazy. And I think EA needs to recognize that Tony Hawk didn't cut it. People just want a good skateboarding game again, and Skate 4 could easily do that. I mean, they've already approved that Skate 3 is going to be compatible on the Xbox One. No one knows when, but hopefully soon. Apparently, pictures showed up online of a digital download card being available for the Xbox 360 for Skate 2, which means is leading people to think that Skate 2 might become backward compatible on the Xbox One. So, Skate 4.
Like, I think the thing is, like, all the skateboarding franchises, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you've got to add more and more stuff, and eventually it stops kind of being skateboarding. Like, oh man, I'm going to sound a bit like a purist, but like, as soon as you start being able to ride like a shopping cart, or like like you got a hoverboard, or you can play as Spider-Man and zing off buildings and stuff, then it kind of just doesn't feel like skateboarding anymore. And I think a good skateboarding game, like, you got to open world it and maybe take that kind of Destiny approach, which is like, rather than kind of trying to make 15 new games, just make one game and make the city get bigger and bigger and bigger, and like new obstacles and spots and things like that for people to find. Like, I'd be happy to have the same skill set of tricks and abilities. I don't need to like unlock tons of new stuff like that. I just want new places to go and skate and pull cool tricks, I think.
I think it'd be cool to see them come out with just an open world game, and instead of, you know, just release it as Skate. The new Skate game is out, because they're doing it with everything now. Like, Doom just came out.
Battlefield, just call it Skate 1.
Yeah, just release Skate, and then next year, instead of putting out Skate 2, release a giant expansion that, like, doubles the size of the city.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do. Stop adding dumb shit to the game. Fix glitches, that's always good. Fix problems, but don't break something that's working fine.
It's true.
People, they're stupid. So, something I wanted to ask you, Ollie Ollie 2 and Not a Hero on the Xbox One are being released by Team 17 instead of Devolver. What was the change there? What happened there?
I mean, I guess, like, from our side, we as a really small studio, like, we can't afford to go and do that stuff. So we're always looking for a publisher who can kind of help us get a game onto a platform and market a game, moving it forwards and so on. And Team 17 approached us and really wanted to bring the game to Xbox. And it was kind of like not something we'd been thinking about doing. And so we were super up for it. It's that weird thing, right? Because I think a lot of stuff maybe in the, I guess in the AAA sphere, right? It's like it's going to be done by one publisher, and it's going to come out on every single platform at the same time, right? It's going to be out on Xbox, PC, PS4, Nvidia Shield, whatever.
All the Engage.
Engage, Dreamcast, all the things at the same time. Whereas for like a smaller team like us, obviously sometimes you actually only have the budget to build and release for like one, maybe two platforms. And obviously, if you want to go on from there, sometimes you got to do that yourself, or you're then trying to find someone else to partner with to do it. And so, yeah, I think, like, it's interesting. Like, if you look at Ollie Ollie 1, that was published by Curve on Nintendo and on Xbox. And it was published by Devolver on Steam, and it was published by ourselves on PlayStation 4. So it's kind of a similar thing with this, I think, is just having to find different partners and finding the right partner for different platforms.
Are you guys going to be sticking with Team 17 for the future, or are you going to split it? Like, Devolver handles all the PS4 stuff, since I've noticed they, like, never put anything on Xbox anymore. Like, Devolver on Xbox, and Team 17 is going to handle the Xbox stuff, and then I guess Irv can do all Nintendo's. I don't know. What are your plans?
Oh, man. I mean, in terms of, like, where we're at next, we've only really very recently, because obviously like we've been doing all of this port stuff for Xbox and all of the new content. So from our side, like we've had some things we're prototyping and that we're playing around with that might be the next thing. But that's all kind of undecided and up in the air at the moment. I think we've been, what is it, like 2.5 years? We've done 3 games.
Which is really good.
Which is a crazy amount of games.
A hell of a turnout.
Yeah, like we've done, what, 3 commercial games, and I've doubled the amount of gray hair I have in 2.5 years.
Nice.
It's been super fun, and it's been really nice, and like, you know, from our side, I think the stuff that we've done has put us on the radar as a studio. But like it was super cool when Sony offered us Ollie Ollie 1, and we totally jumped at it, probably without really being fully aware what we were getting ourselves into. And a similar thing with Not a Hero and Devolver. Like that game, I'm super happy with how Not a Hero came out. But like, you know, in terms of like, we added like random conversation stuff, and we added all of the cutscenes, and trying to balance a game that has like 9 playable characters across all the levels, and all the levels have to work for all the characters. Like, it's been a crazy 2.5 years, and I think, with our new projects, and I guess what we're hoping to do, we're just trying to take a bit more time before we start to think through what it is we'd like to do and what the scope of it is and maybe how long we need to do it before we start doing it and then have this mad like, oh my god, sort of situation. So yeah, not like we're just chilling, not like we're just sitting on a beach somewhere and chilling out, but we're I think we're trying to be a bit more planned and a bit more, I hate to say the word professional, that sounds like we've all started carrying briefcases, but yeah, trying
cut
to
that shit out,
a bit more organized.
Are you wearing a suit? Are you an hour late to the show because you were buying a suit?
I had to pick it up from the dry cleaners.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah, I couldn't find anywhere to park my Maserati either. Like, in the valet took forever.
Man, they're so lazy these days. I have to help someone else. Like, don't you know who I am?
Speaking of which, came up with a wicked concept the other day, which is Monument Valet, which is where you park people's cars at well-known landmarks. It's beautifully rendered.
Oh, my lord. You guys have so many ideas for new games. So how many kind of prototypes do you have in the works now? Is anything really solid? Is there a good idea of what game is the next one to be coming from the team over there?
I'm gonna open my projects folder. Hold on. I mean, like, there's my dead projects folder has 46 items in it.
God damn.
Of, like, just crap, right? Like, just stuff we've played around with or ideas we've had, or someone's gone, hey, it'd be cool if we made a game where, like, dolphins jump out the sea and you punch them. and you're like, cool, what'll that be like 8 hours in? I don't know, maybe you're sticking grenades in the blowhole or something. But, like, you know, it's not going to be a game.
Man, Peter would love that game.
It's a fun, yeah. It's kind of like, I think there's also that thing of sometimes, like, you come up with a great idea and then you start to plan it out and you realize you're like, oh, cool, we've just reinvented Mario. Or like, oh, cool, this is just someone else's game. Like, it sounds kind of cool and it works kind of well, but you realize, like, I've got a game in here called Love Trousers, which is basically Love Trousers. I didn't realize I was making Love Trousers until I played around with it for a couple of weeks. I was like, oh, cool, this is actually just Love Trousers.
I'll be honest, I thought you said Love Trousers.
That's what I called the folder for copyright reasons.
Oh, God.
But, like, I think so. There's a ton of stuff that we mess around with and we'll send around and be like, hey, what about this idea or whatever. Most things end up in the bin. And that's fine. I think that's kind of how it works, right? It's like Ollie Ollie was something that we started messing around with and we were sending it around between us and everyone was kind of having a good time with it and throwing in ideas and it was like it kept growing and you could see the potential for it. And I think the same thing happened with Not a Hero was like we were all having fun with that and coming up with ideas for that. And so it's kind of that impossible thing of like, well, we've got this other cool idea that's sort of all right that we could start working on. But you're always trying to find the thing that's really sticky, right? That is like inspiring everybody. So there's a few things I can't say I'm sorry.
Aww.
So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed by like episode 261. We'll be plugging the new thing.
Can you at least tell me if you're planning on working on it for Xbox?
Yeah. I think our goal with anything we do in the future will be to be considering all the platforms the first time around.
Nice.
I mean, it's been really good that we've worked with Team 17 to do all of these Xbox ports. With Not a Hero especially, it was like, initially it was never a game that was even going to be on consoles. It was only going to be on PC. I mean, that game was literally made by myself and Jake and two other people working on it full time. And so we built it like, cool, it's going to come out on Steam. And then it came out on Steam and it'd be like, it'd be great if we could take it to console. Shit. There's so much work to do to make this on console. So no, anything we do from now on, like we'd sat down after our last few projects and kind of went like, what are our golden rules? And one of our golden rules was, you know, always consider that the games are going to come out on everything. And so kind of think about that from the start.
I'll be honest, no matter where your games do come out, I will absolutely be there ready to play them, unless it's VR, because I can't afford that shit.
Me neither.
It's been awesome chatting with you. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you want to talk about.
Other than, you know, super thank you for having me on. Yeah, the games are out. I don't know when this is going out. So the games are out tomorrow or the day after or now. whichever of those it is.
We'll just go. The games are out May 24th.
The games are out May 24th.
May 24th. Yes. Do you know the prices offhand, or should I check my notes?
They're less than Doom. Like, if you're sat there and you can't afford Doom, this will totally be cheaper.
I guess I'll give the details. Not a Hero Super Snazzy Edition will be available for $12.99. Ollie Ollie 2 XL Edition for $14.99. Or if you want them both and you want to save a few bucks, you could get the Bunny Lord Pro Hater Pack for $20.99.
Which is everything. Which is all the good stuff all at once.
Those two. It doesn't have the first Ollie Ollie, but it has those two games.
Yeah, but they're the definitive games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any shot that the new content makes its way to the other versions of the game? Or is that forever Xbox?
I do sincerely hope it might. This is another one of the... Like, I'm always going to leave it on this cliffhanger with you, Joe. Maybe one day it might. But until one day, I can't say.
I'm legally prohibited from answering this question.
Yep, there's a guy in a suit with sunglasses pointing a 9mm Glock at me right now, going, shh, stop it, cut. So, yeah.
What's his name?
Dave.
Hi, Dave.
He's not really called Dave. I just have to call him that, otherwise it'll
shoot. You are legally not allowed to answer what his name is.
He's called Clarence.
Clarence, you son of a bitch. Let him go. The flappy-fingered one go.
Yeah, I mean, those bangs you heard earlier were him firing warning shots.
Those were warning shots. Don't fucking say anything to him.
Just to let me know he's serious.
That's where Pappy went. He didn't quit the show. Clarence took care of him.
Yeah, he said something wrong. It's never coming back.
I'm still laughing about that. Holy shit. Well, John, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you once again. Don't be a stranger. Whenever you have anything to announce or anything to talk about, you are always welcome on our dumb little show.
It's been awesome to be back on. Thank you very much for having me, dude.
Have a good one, sir. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
Thank you. Thank you for listening to us ramble on. I hope you've enjoyed it. And yeah, please check our stuff out. We appreciate all of the support we can get.
Sounds good. Take it easy, John.
Nice.
Oh, that was fun. Always love talking to John. Normally, I would do this with other hosts on, but I do have two games to talk about real quick since I didn't get them until after our last episode recorded. So two quick reviews right now. The first up is called My Night Job, developed and published by Bit Composer. It released May 17th on the PlayStation 4 for $7.99. This is a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up shooter action kind of game. Basically, you're a guy and you have to go into a haunted house, kind of a haunted house. Well, a house. We'll just say a house. And you have to save 100 people. The house starts off fairly empty, but the longer you play, the more zombies show up. You could find zombie people, zombie mice. There's dozens of rooms in the house that you could go through and inspect. There's various weapons that you could pick up. I think my favorite one was I went into a basement where there's a movie set down there, and they had a chainsaw, which I wish it was an infinite use kind of weapon, because you could just run back and forth, fucking running everybody over. Eventually it did run out, and by that time the house was fairly populated with zombies, and I got absolutely destroyed. But the main part of the game is that you have to go room to room, find all these people, and get them to an exit so that they could escape the house. Oh, excuse me. I did not beat the game and save 100 people yet, because it gets really tough after a while. I have put quite a bit of time into it because it is incredibly addictive, incredibly fun. The visuals are great. I love the pixel style of it. It's not like an 8-bit visual game. It looks more like a 16 or a 32-bit era pixelated visual style. Gorgeously detailed sprites in the game. Just fun to beat up and destroy zombies. I know some of the rooms can fill up. I haven't seen what happens when a room fills up to the point where I'm going to guess like the floor falls apart or something. I've seen rooms get red on the mini map with an icon flashing, but I always got there to clean it in time, or at least take care of it, or I died. So either one. But overall, the game is a lot of fun for only $8 on the PlayStation 4. I am going to give it a buy. It definitely worth picking up. A lot of fun, very replayable. Just it's all about setting a high score. So pick it up, kill some zombies, get a high score, and share your best score with us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how good you are at it. Other game to talk about is called Next game to talk about is Super Knight Riders, developed and published by NecoWorks. It released May 18th for $9.99 on the Xbox One. Not sure if it's on anything else, because if it's not on Xbox, I don't care. This is an old school styled bike riding game, like an enduro style super bike racing game. If you've ever played something like Super Hang-On or Outrun in the arcade, you know what you're getting into. You start the race, you have so much time to get to the next checkpoint. If you run out of time, game over. If you make the checkpoint, it adds more time, and you have to get to the next checkpoint. Each area has 6 stages that you have to complete. There are 6 full courses, where each of the 6 courses has 6 stages to go through. There are also 6 specialized courses, where normally in course 1 through 6, you go through, like, you'll go through a forest area, then a desert area, a Asian inspired area, a city area. And the extra courses, you're basically just going through 6 stages of the forest, 6 stages of the desert or the beach or whatever. So there's 12 stages right there. There is also a super difficult course 1 through 6 run, where you have to complete all 36 stages back to back to back to back to back, no stopping. And it is tough. Fun fact, the first person who was not the developer of the game to 1,000 point this game was our friend Shiz Blackett. And I got to watch him the night he did it. He spent a couple of hours just trying to complete that course 1 through 6. And when he finally did it and those final 2 achievements popped, one for beating that and one for collecting all achievements, I don't know if I've ever seen him that happy. He got to accomplish a goal of being the first in the world to complete a game. So yeah, really cool game. The visuals will turn some people off. I'm not a big fan of the visuals, but I understand the style behind them. It's a stylized look. It's supposed to look more like, you know, N64 or PlayStation 1 era 3D style visuals. They're not bad, but it's all going to come down to taste. I personally am not a fan of the visuals, but the gameplay itself is rock solid. The controls are great. The speed is great. The yellow racer in the game can go fuck himself because I've run into him so many goddamn times. The music, there's only four music tracks. I wish there was more. In essence, they're like 30-second songs that just loop over and over, if that. It's good music, but they can wear out their welcome fairly quick, especially if you end up listening to the same one over and over. I wish the default option for the music was to play a random track instead of just the first track, or I wish it saved that you want to keep a random song instead of the top one. Other than that, for $10, I'm kind of torn in between a try it and a buy it. I'm going to go with a buy it. Some people may not dig it. Again, the visuals are not the greatest thing in the world. They're crisp, they're colorful, they're nice, but just the art direction, I guess, people aren't going to dig it. But for me, it's all about the gameplay, and I think the gameplay holds up well enough to make it worth picking up and playing. And it's, if you're good at these kind of games, you're going to get some quick achievement points out of it. So yeah, I'm giving that one a buy it. So a buy it for both Super Knight Riders and My Night Job. We are going to have more to talk about next week on the show. Plenty more show next week. And for music today, I was going to try to play some stuff from Ollie Ollie 2, but I got the news that Alan Young, who many people may know as the voice of Scrooge McDuck, he passed away. And I'm going to play some music from the DuckTales soundtrack, the DuckTales remastered soundtrack from our good friend Jay Kaufman. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thanks to John for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you next time.